that a lot, don't we? We say things in worship, we don't know where they come from. We have no clue. But today, you actually heard where that phrase comes from. It comes from a great story about the centurion.
This is a man with power and influence. This is a man who knows what he has to do, and he does it. He gets orders from above. He carries out the orders. He has 100 men underneath him to help him enforce Roman law.
He's a Gentile, but he is very connected to the locals.
He's wealthy enough to own a slave and to build a synagogue for the community. He's looked up to by the community, but he also has the power of Rome behind him, and so he can do as he pleases in that community. He is the power, he is the authority, he is the go-to person in that area. Everything about him points to him expecting that when he says go, you go. Or if he says come, you come. Or if he says do this, you do it. No questions asked. Now, he has a slave. That was a very common part of life at that time. He values this slave. We don't know if he values the slave because he loves the slave or because the slave is just a really valuable slave and it costs a lot to find one. We don't know. But he values this slave enough to make use of his power and his authority to get that slave healed. So what does he do? Does he just send a message to Jesus and say, you get over to my house right now and heal him, or I'm going to send my soldiers over and get you, and we will drag you over here and you will do it because I am Rome in this place and I've got people who can make that happen? He does not do that. First of all, he sends someone else, someone local,
someone who would have a relationship with Jesus.
Someone who would have something in common with Jesus. He sends the local Jewish authorities. And he doesn't tell. He asks, would you come and heal my slave? So that's the first thing he does. He respects Jewish law. He knows that Jesus isn't supposed to be under his roof. He knows that he should not approach Jesus personally. He knows that a distance has to be maintained because he is a Gentile and a Roman. And Jesus is very, very Jewish. And he respects Jesus. This is a man with all the power and authority in that area. And there are several things he does that tell us that he respects Jesus as one with authority and power. First of all, he asks. He doesn't tell. He asks Jesus to come. He includes Jesus when he says, I also am a man under authority, and I have men under me, and I can tell them what to do. And so he includes Jesus in that same level of his power and authority. So he's showing respect. He tells Jesus then also, don't come under my roof. You don't have to do that. Because Jesus sets out. He gets this plea from this man, and he sets out to go over there to heal the slave. And when the centurion finds out Jesus is actually on his way, he's like, no, no, you can't come under my roof. I'm a Gentile. You'll be unclean, blah, blah, blah. He knows all of this. And so he says, all you have to do is say the word. Just say the word. I'm not worthy to have you here. And he's talking about being ritually worthy, but he's also talking about, I'm not a worthy person because I'm not one of you. And I'm in the business of making sure that your people obey my people. He knows he's not worthy. But he shows respect for Jesus. He shows respect for Jesus' authority. He knows he has to do something different. So I got to thinking, how has this powerful man spent his time in this community? Huh? What has he been doing? Has he been laying down the law? Has he been sending soldiers everywhere he can just to make sure that people are toeing the line? Is he doing edicts, telling people you got to do this and you can't do that without thinking about the consequences? No, this man has got it right. He already knows Jesus. Somehow in his heart, he knows Jesus. And so what has he done in that community? He has walked with the local people rather than lording it over them. He has walked alongside them. He has supported local endeavors to his own detriment. He must have to have spent a lot of money on that synagogue. He has worked at learning all he can about local laws, local justice, culture. And he has approached his assignment with humility. He knows what he does not know, and he sets out to That is what real power and authority look like. That is power and authority of the heart. And the people in that location, because they were willing to go running to Jesus for him, on his behalf, and tell him all these wonderful things about this outsider who doesn't belong there, who they didn't want there in the first place. That man, that centurion has some power and authority in that place. And he didn't get it the way we normally think that happens. This is what real power and authority looks like. Humility. Willing to learn. Building up. Working. Responds to his demonstration of this kind of power by recognizing that this Roman, this outsider, understands what Jesus is trying to teach. He accepts Jesus' authority in this manner. And Jesus doesn't get that from the Jewish authorities. And so Jesus drives the point home by emphasizing that Gentile understanding was very, very much more than the Jewish understanding. This outside Roman knows that humility and relationship, walking together, learning about one another, caring for others, no matter what the relationship is or what the person is or where they're from, he knows that that is what makes up power. The Jewish authorities, they really just wanted the Messiah to come. They understood that Jesus might be the Messiah who would throw those gall darned Romans out of the country. That's what they were on about. They wanted a strong man. There is a big, big difference between walking with one another and being only interested in our own interests and concerns. This community has it figured out. And it's all because of this outsider who arrived not with a sledgehammer, even though he could have. He had 100 men under him. He could have come with a sledgehammer, but he didn't. He arrived with an outstretched hand and an open mind and a humble heart. And he served that community even though he didn't have to. He held the reins of power in that place. So the big question is, was the centurion worthy? No, of course not. None of us is worthy to receive Jesus. Not one of us. But Jesus comes to us anyway, with open hands, and he gives himself away. He comes to us with open arms, and he gathers us from every place and time. He comes to us, and he asks, "Will you let me be your servant?" As you receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper today, remember that Jesus makes you worthy to receive him. And he does that with a complete emptying of himself